So, hello and welcome to a new episode of Five, the podcast on female entrepreneurship and diversity. And today we invited Saskia Riedl from Arx Audio. She's a founder based in Saarbrücken, and we will talk today about founding a startup in the scene of arts, media, and technology.
For us, entrepreneurship is not necessarily about starting or running a business. It's a state of mind, a principle of life, and an approach to dealing with problems. This is Five, your university podcast on female entrepreneurship by the Munich University of Applied Sciences and the Strasheck Center for Entrepreneurship. We strongly believe in diversity. It's just so much more fun and exciting. Diversity in food, in cultures, in places, ways of living, learning, creating and doing things. It's this desire to explore that we all have in us, to see new things, and yes, to be curious to look what's behind the next corner.
Hello, Saskia, and a warm welcome to the podcast show Five. I'm really glad that you're here today with us and that we can speak about your startup, Arx Audio. Yeah, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So maybe tell us, just to start, just in a few words, like, what was your motivation to start Arx Audio and what is Arx Audio about?
Okay, so maybe I start with what is Arx Audio before I start with my motivation. So Arx Audio is a participatory audio guide, and I talk with visitors about what they see in art. So it's more about their perspective, what they see in an artwork, what they think about it, and maybe also what they wonder. And you get access to art that is more accessible for everyone, I would say. And so you could actually hear what a pupil is going to say about an artwork, or a student, and you get, hey, this is interesting, and I can see why the person likes the artwork, and maybe I can then also find my own access to an artwork and see what it has to do with me. Yeah, so this is mainly what Arx Audio is about, and these conversations are recorded, and I make an audio guide out of it. So you have three different perspectives on one artwork. For example, as I said already, a pupil, a student, an adult. So it depends on who I can find to talk with me about art. And so this is the main idea, I would say. And my motivation was that I wanted to make art more accessible for everyone, because I think lies a lot of potential in it for yourself to reflect on different topics, on different ideas, and also reflect your own perception of things, and to actually start thinking more critically. And yeah, so this is, I think, my motivation.
Yeah, it's a really interesting concept, I think, that, and it reminds me a bit of when I was in high school. Like, we had a really nice, good teacher, and with him we went to the Pinakothek in Munich, and I think it was this experience for me was the first time I really enjoyed walking through art, because it was very participatory as well. Mm-hmm. He always just asked us as a group of students, like, what we were thinking, or what was our feeling when we were standing in front of the art piece, and then everyone started to exchange their feelings, emotions, or what it reminded them of. Mm-hmm. And I think that was something I now, even like 20 years after, I still remember, because it was more as an experience, and he kind of facilitated it through his way of, I mean, he had also lots of expertise, but he didn't, like, you know, stand in front of the artwork and just, like, told us all the numbers and everything, and then after 1 second you're overwhelmed and kind of like your thoughts are drowning.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's like you stop listening, I think. Yeah. And if somebody talks about what they like about something, then you immediately get inspired by their feelings and by their emotions and what they see, and you get kind of get closer to the person, to the person, and also to the artwork maybe.
And how do you actually pick the people participating in the, like, telling their stories about the artwork, and how do you pick them? And is there also people involved, like more experts, like to have like the non-expert expert, different kind of perspectives, or?
It depends. I mean, it's not always easy to find people who are who feel able to do it, I would say. So the people say, I don't know, I cannot talk about art, and I cannot talk about what I think and feel, and who would be interested in it. So you have to actually tell the people, hey, but what you say is interesting, and it can be inspirational for other people. So this is sometimes a bit difficult to actually make the people speak up, or self-conscious, not self-conscious, but to be proud of their own ideas and of what they think. Yeah, that's sometimes a bit difficult. But I just ask friends. I ask people who I meet occasionally or randomly in a museum who might be interested in participating in the audio guide. The museum network helps a lot. So there are people who are not experts, but they are really fond of the museum or really fond of some artwork they have in their collection. And so this is mainly my pool where I can ask people to talk with me about art. And sometimes, yes, there are people who are experts, I would say, not that they are the artists or the curators, but people who maybe come from the field. So they are not completely new to art and museums, but they have nothing to do with the artwork itself. So they can also get to talk with a historian about an artwork, or with someone who is more in nature science, for example, that can also be an interesting point of view.
Yeah, maybe if it would be for the listener, maybe it's good to know a bit more about your professional background, and then it might kind of important for also the startup that you created in the field of arts and media and technology. Yeah, can maybe tell us a bit about what you're doing, or what did you study? And
what I started with, maybe. So I wanted to be an art curator. So that's what I wanted to be when I was studying at the university in Würzburg. And I studied museology, art history, and economics. And then I kind of got interested in contemporary art. So I wanted to be an art curator. And then I started to study in Saarbrücken at the Academy of Fine Arts. And I started to study curating and exhibition management. And while studying there, I kind of got to the idea of, okay, you can make exhibitions, but who are the people who are coming, and how can you maybe get more people to look at an artwork or to visit an exhibition, and to start maybe to find also new people to invite to your exhibition. And that's when I had this idea or this question in mind, what has art got to do with me? And that's where I started to think of the idea. Okay, how can I get more people into exhibitions and into discussing art, although they have nothing to do with it? And so I got to the idea of making more guided tours that are like that. So what do you feel? What do you see? What do you think? But then I also wanted to have something for the individual visitor, that they can also have this kind of experience without taking a guided tour. And so I thought about a way of making this accessible to individual visitors. And so I came up with the idea of developing or designing an app where you can actually listen to it. And so that's the moment where Arx Audio was born, because I then asked a friend, or not a friend, but a fellow student, if he could design or develop an app for me where you can listen to these different point of views or different conversations. And yeah, and then I had to find a name for it, and that's where Arx Audio came from. So this is my background. So I started actually studying more historical art history, museology, and then with the motivation to make art and exhibitions more accessible to everyone, I came up with the idea of using audio, which every museum has, to bring forth my idea.
Like, from the point where you had the idea to actually launching it as a business, like, did you participate in any like entrepreneurial like programs or in anything from the university, or you just did it all by yourself and just asked different people for help in regards to app development or something?
Actually, yes, I just started without knowing what I'm going to do. So I had the possibility, which was very nice, at the Museum for Art and Science in Baden-Baden. So my professor was the director also of this museum, and I introduced him to this idea of mine, and then he said, oh, nice, let's try this at our museum. So I just went there and had the idea of, okay, I'm going to ask different people who are around the museum, and I just like spontaneously invite them to comment on an artwork, which was not very successful because the people were quite shy. And so I started to make this appointment with people. So it was more or less just like learning by doing. And also the development of the app and the design, and what is really helpful with the user interface, everything that's, yeah, mainly what you might maybe think of before. And then I just did it and just tried stuff out. So I've never went to any entrepreneurship workshop or anything else. Yeah, and because of the interdisciplinary concept of the Academy of Fine Arts, where you have also media art and film and communication design, I had different friends who also studied there that I could ask if they could help me. For example, designing a logo and thinking about the name. So this was very helpful.
Yeah, because I recently talked also with another university here in Munich, the Media Arts University and Theater. Yeah. And what they were saying is that in general, there isn't that much startup vibe at their university. I mean, there's a lot of people being self-employed, but like really starting it as like a business concept, business model and all that. So they tried to come up with some programs. And I don't know how that was at your university or from your colleagues. If there is like, how is the general vibe you like from your ecosystem, maybe also in Saskia is based in Saarbrücken, so like what would you say, like, is there a lot of entrepreneurial vibe, lots of startups, lots of things going on, or how do you experience that?
So at the Academy of Fine Arts, I wouldn't say so. I mean, there. I think when I finished my studies, that was in 2017, and that's where I also started with Arx Audio. And I don't know if that during that time there was this expression startup already very common, because I didn't really explain myself as a startup, as you said before. I always said that I'm freelancer and I do this and that. So I would never use the expression startup. And so in this, I think in this area where I'm located in business-wise, so the art world, I think no one would use the word startup. But otherwise, the whole situation in Saarbrücken, I think it's getting more and more common that people do or develop startups, especially at the university. But the university is something different than the academy where I studied. So it's not located in the same area of the city, and it's quite different from each other. You have more the artists on this side and then more the tech people on the other side, like up the hill at the university, and also the whole co-hub stuff and what they actually, there is more this development of creating startups. So at the academy, there was not this vibe, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's quite common, this what you just said, that the artists themselves or people studying more in the creative and arts, they would not use the words like startup, entrepreneurship, being an entrepreneur. And it comes maybe more, yeah, from the business or tech driven world. This, however, I think it's especially this intersection is super interesting, I would say, for really creative and new innovative ideas if those people just get together.
I definitely think the same. But it's just that sometimes you just what I needed would be, or I need someone who is more like in this management thing, like, okay, pushing this further, how can I grow and stuff? And I'm not really, sometimes I'm just maybe also afraid of, okay, taking the next step. And my next step is actually paying taxes now. So I'm having this whole weird, still artist kind of view on my startup, on Arx Audio. But I mean, it's a longer process for me to make it more like a really like a business. And also I think it also depends on what you want. Also what you want in how your life and also your daily life is going to be structured. So how you spend your day. Do you also want to work on weekends, or what does it mean to actually be like the head of a startup? Also, for example, for myself, I'm on my own right now. I have a developer who programs the apps for me, but otherwise I do everything on my own. And this is sometimes it's really exhausting and you think, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. But right now, I'm actually thinking of, okay, how can I make this whole thing or bring the whole thing to the next step without also losing it too much, because it's like this, oh, yeah, it's like a little baby and you've taken care of it since 3 years now. And yeah, but I think the intersection between management and tech would maybe also help me to take the next step. So, I mean, I've been through some workshops concerning entrepreneurship, But yeah, so I have an idea on how to get there. But sometimes I'm maybe too afraid to take the next step.
So I have actually two or three questions in mind now.
Yeah.
And the first one would be like, how is your, like, the business model currently structured? Like, are you earning money from the museums because you get contracted by them? Or is it like from every user using the audio guide? Or how did you set it up so far?
So far, I set it up that I'm getting paid by the museum. And because I don't want the people to pay for more accessible audio guide, and then I have to pay for it. And I think that doesn't really fit into my concept. Yeah, so this is my financial way right now. And then I'm also, of course, I'm relying on these financial funds that the museum also has. So this is sometimes a bit problematic. But otherwise, yeah, I also started to rethink my whole idea of accessibility. For example, that I'm not using a native app anymore, rather a web app that you can use in your browser and that you can just, that is on your smartphone. You can scan a QR code and then you can get directly to the interviews without having to download an app, or you don't have enough space on your iPhone and you cannot download it, stuff like that. So that's what I'm, what is completely contrary to the idea of actually having the people pay for it. So, So I think I'm going to be relying on the museums and on public funds. Yeah, longer, but yeah. So this is my business model, actually having museums and other institutions paying for the development of an app and also developing the interviews.
So with how many museums are you working with so far? Or
So I have the one in Baden-Baden. I have two projects coming up in Luxembourg, mm-hmm. with a casino. That's a contemporary art museum. Then last year I was in Nancy in France,
mm-hmm.
where I worked with the Musée des Beaux-Arts de Nancy. And for example, that was funded by the Oh My Goethe Fund. Is it fund? Stipendium?
Yeah.
Is it scholarship?
Scholarship. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the Oh My Goethe Scholarship. So that was funded by the Goethe Institute and also the city of Nancy. So, for example, that's a different kind of financial concept that I'm relying on. And yeah, so maybe there are some other projects coming up, but they're not for sure yet. So Luxembourg is the next one. And yeah, I worked with museums here in Saarbrücken and also did an audio guide for the Urban Art Museum. So it's actually urban art outside, and you can walk with your smartphone to the different murals. And yeah, so this is what I've done so far.
Was there any specific reason till now didn't get any co-founders or anyone on board? So to kind of like, or would that be something you would consider yourself as a next step, maybe searching for co-founders or like becoming a team of like, let's say three or four, I don't know.
Yes, definitely, because I don't want to work on my own anymore. I don't know why I started it on my own. I think it's because that I, as I said before, didn't think of the expression of a startup where different people are involved. I just started it. And maybe that's why I was on my own. And I was still on my own because there wasn't so many projects coming up. because I talked to a lot of museums and they said, oh, that's really interesting, but yeah, we don't have the money, blah, blah, blah. And so that was a bit difficult. But I think, yeah, so with a bigger team and also having people who are responsible for maybe social media or doing interviews in another museum, so that this whole idea of making art more accessible through interviews with visitors, it would be more productive, I think. And also I would get more productive because I think I like working in a team, but I have still, haven't had the time actually to try and find someone. I don't actually know how to do that because it's not that I'm writing like a job inscription. So, hey, I'm looking for coworkers. I don't know. I think it, like at the point where I am right now, it would be more like I find someone who is also interested in the same field and who'd like to also think of new ideas, what Arx Audio could also be, for example, workshops or something like that. And so actually to bring also a new perspective to it, not only just the interviews, maybe there's something else, what you can do with the idea of letting people speak. Yeah, so I'm actually looking for someone who's interested in the same stuff and who says, hey, what do you think? Should we maybe cooperate or can we work together? And right now I haven't found someone like this.
Yeah, maybe the podcast can help.
Yeah, please.
No, but I think, like, I mean, from my experience working in the entrepreneurship center, I think that common steps could be like either, I mean, there is now lots of women networks, female networks out there, like for example Fementor is like mentoring. I follow them on Instagram and it's growing really big. And so you can be like, for example, even with your idea, you can be again like a mentee and looking for a more experienced mentor that could help you kind of like defining the next steps. Then we had, for example, an interview with the startup team Yesango, and they started in a team of three, and they found each other, for example, through a Foundario, which is like a website where you can search for co-founders.
Okay.
Or there is like next month, there is like we have at the STE, we have, for example, a format which is called Innovation Cafe. And each month there is like a different topic. And I think in April, it should be also the topic on female entrepreneurship, and you can always pitch your idea in the start and you can say like, hey, I'm Saskia, this is my startup, this is my idea, and I'm looking for people joining in. So I think that sometimes that's actually my feeling, that there is like, there's so many accelerators, mentoring, but it's sometimes, it feels that even so there is so much stuff out there, it sometimes doesn't transmit to the people who are in need for that. So there is like still like, especially what I was considering in the women's entrepreneurship ecosystem, that it would be a good idea to have kind of a platform where you could just go onto one website and then maybe search by location or whatever, and then you get displayed all the mentorships, all the different coaching options, the where you can search for a co-founder or something, where it's more like visible what you can do in, and also in which depending on the phase you're actually in. Like, I mean, you already started, so you have experience, you tested the idea is working, you had like this iterative product development cycles, and now it's the question like how to grow it even further. And I think that, that mentoring and also maybe even going to the entrepreneurship center, for example, in our university, we have like a startup certificate program where people also from who haven't been enrolled before at the university could join in. And then you get like coaching and you get a free office spot in the center mm-hmm. of Munich. And like some, I mean, it's not like a huge financial help, but it definitely helps. And especially like the network and to be surrounded by people who also start a business.
Interesting.
Just maybe some recommendations from
That's cool. I think the April the event in April could be helpful.
So
actually I thought of who I might need, and I said social media before, but right now when I think about it, also people who can do audio editing would be helpful, because then I don't have to edit all the interviews on my own, which is like loads of work. So it's so that would be kind of good. But also I like, how do you say it? Like people who like to work on the idea of Ax Audio would also be nice, because to have someone to actually like a sparring partner, something like that.
I mean, in general, like I think that that's something like I was working myself in a startup before, and like we were building it up, and I mean usually it's more of that. I mean everyone has kind of their main expertise, but then it's always like you have to be kind of like involved in everything, and I think that's also something that is like a major benefit of starting something from scratch, because nothing is really like fixed or set, or you just have to do things as a company did like all the last years or whatever. You can kind of creatively build up something new.
Because maybe it's also like this thing I said before, to be afraid to grow further is also, I mean, it has psychological wise, it has a lot to do with letting go. I mean, you also have to let go of something to make it grow further. And sometimes that's maybe also a problem people have. Or for example, I have that I cannot let go because I have to involve someone else. And then I went, oh God, if they're going to do it right, are they going to do it the way that I wanted to? And I think that's a process that I'm still in.
Maybe we can go back a bit to the topic about like why you started or what you like about starting your business, and if there have been any like role models or people that inspired you on your way.
So the first artist who inspired me in this kind of way was Rienike Dijkstra. She's a photographer from, I think, Denmark, but I'm not sure. But you can look it up. And she had this work at the Tate Modern in London. And it was I See a Woman Crying, where children, I think at the age of 10 maybe, like a whole class of them, are sitting in front of a painting by Picasso. And you cannot see the painting, but you see a videotape of the kids watching this painting. And so this was like, you only see expressions and how they think about what they see. And I think that was really inspiring, because at some point, like you have like 3 minutes of not talking at all. And then at one point, a little boy says, oh, I see a woman crying. And then it starts to like the whole conversation starts and the kids are talking to each other and what they see. And so this was very inspirational for me, like this whole work of Rienike Dijkstra. Yeah. So this was, I think, the first point where I said, okay, art has so much to do with our inner feelings about it has a lot to do with our what we see. It has a lot of, to do with our perspective on life. And so, yeah, so this was one artwork that really inspired me. So she's not an artist. She's engaged in political issues and also in literature. It's Kübra Gümüşsev. She wrote the book, I have to translate it into English now, Language and Being, I would say. Mm-hmm. So it's about how language defines us as human beings, and also different languages are let us explain something in a different way. For example, English or German or Danish or I don't know, Chinese or anything like that you have different expressions in different languages. And if you grow up in different languages, that you find your way of talking and thinking and a feeling also in different languages. And I thought that's very interesting also, having this idea of empathy in mind, to actually being more understandable for people when they express something, and also that it defines them somehow. And yeah, so this was a very interesting book for me, because I'm also working with language, and to express something in language that had been expressed in a picture, and how do you translate it, and how the different ways of speaking also define ourselves. And yeah, so this was one recent book that I read that I thought, wow, this is really inspiring. Also thinking about social justice, and also about women in literature and politics, and also about sexual harassment, to actually have a word for describing something. So, but this book by Kübra Gümüşsev, that was, that had a major impact on me.
Yeah, I think I can relate to the topic of languages a lot by myself when I was, as I speak, also like, I have the feeling that I use different, even like gestures, if I speak Spanish or if I speak German, or also what I like speaking English, especially also in business context or for writing academic papers and stuff. I prefer English. And then when I speak Spanish, I have also very different gestures with my hands, and like, it's more like my whole body reacts differently when I speak Spanish. And then, of course, your native language, German. And I was studying in a program with like 33 people from 23 different nationalities, and so there was a big cultural mix. And definitely language is a very interesting in how we interact and speak.
Exactly. And like you said, this different ways of finding a language that fits, for example, to talk about something enthusiastically, or to actually have something that is very clear and business. And so this is, I think language is something that is going to, that I'm going to work on for longer. Yeah.
I think that we gained like a super interesting perspective today. And I really liked also talking maybe with someone who comes more from the arts, and to have this kind of like approach towards starting their business or your business. And I wish you all the best for the next steps, to kind of grow or diversify, or your business, and I don't know, is there anything you want to maybe forward to future to our students or listeners, the famous final words? Or
so I haven't prepared for that. but maybe just to have the strength and the braveness to actually do what you like and what your heart leads you to, maybe. I don't know if this is too pathetic.
But basically it's starting your business. I mean, it can have to do a lot with following your passion or following something you like to do. It can be one motivation. I mean, money can also be a motivation, but I mean, everyone finds his or her own motivation to kind of go onto that path. And as what you said, I think it's definitely worth to also sometimes just start and to experiment, and then to learn and to experiment further and to learn and to kind of walk the path, kind of.
I think it depends on what personality you have, and I think that's also something that you get to know better and better if you do something from scratch or do something that your passion is, that you find out more about yourself and how you function and how you want your life to be.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This was Five, your university podcast on female entrepreneurship. We hope that today's episode sparked your curiosity and leaves you feeling inspired and motivated to explore further. Follow us on Spotify, Deezer, iTunes, or Google Podcast to never miss upcoming insights on inspiring startup stories. Thanks for listening, and until next time.